From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Today we go to Moscow for the weekly press conference with Maria Zakharova, spokesperson for Russia's foreign ministry. We're bringing you today the Q&A from her press conference to the extent time allows.
Alma 18, Libyan TV channel. Do we have you here? Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the opportunity to participate in this briefing and ask you a question. I would like to ask two questions. Yes, of course. The relevant matter on the agenda. It goes as follows. Anti-Russian sanctions, statements, demarches, rhetorics have been on an increase in recent years, but there have been no direct accusations against the head of state. In my opinion, it is an unprecedented case. Do you believe that such a step made by Biden something that will even further deteriorate the already difficult relations between the two countries? How can it reflect on the aspects of cooperation that, in spite of everything, are still developing here? Today in Moscow, there is a conference being held on Afghanistan with a representative of the United States. There are also other matters as counterterrorism, conflict settlement in regions, disarmament, and so on and so forth. I would like to comment upon, I have already commented upon all those matters, but due to my respect towards you, I can repeat myself. I do not believe that we should measure the degree of unprecedented when it comes to such statements. We have heard a lot of different things from the collective West and directly from each country in separate, from political administration in recent years, in the last year, in dozens of years. Indeed, our intention, which we have announced to invite the ambassador of the Russian Federation in Washington to hold consultations, indeed, it is a step that nobody can remember in recent years and dozens of years. Indeed, there is no precedent for that. There were such examples, but they were related to concrete problems. But to hold consultations on the whole range of bilateral relations and analyze and reconsider, indeed, it is an unprecedented thing, and I believe not only in the history of bilateral American-Russian relations, but as a whole as well. Then, you mentioned that today there is an event being held in Moscow dedicated to Afghanistan. There are American representatives. How will it reflect on our relations? Where is logic in that? You have just mentioned that such statements as have been made are unacceptable. So someone makes unacceptable statements and we, from our side, should be deteriorating the relations that are at an impasse. Already there is no reason to follow such logics. It's pointless. There is no point in continuing to destroy relations, to hinder the process. This is not our way, this is not our strategy, neither our tactics. To get down to business and carry out a lot of work related to reviewing and reconsidering the state of bilateral relations, that is another matter. This is what we are going to do right now. You had another question. Yes, the second question. Recently, a Libyan delegation visited, made a visit, representative Hezbollah. Can you comment upon the visit of this delegation to Russia, meeting so that they held. How will this visit and its result reflect on the situation in Lebanon, where there is a hard process of forming the government, and in neighboring countries, where the parties have been cooperating for many years in fighting such an evil as international terrorism? Yes, in Moscow, as a whole, we are satisfied with the contacts held with the leadership of the Lebanon's party Hezbollah during the visit of the parliamentary bloc's leader to Moscow and the delegation he headed. We expect that the meetings held with this delegation and exchanges of views, as well as the understanding achieved, will further overcome the crisis in Lebanon and will be a contribution to settling the situation and maintaining security in the Middle East. Thank you very much. Do we have TASS here? Yes, good afternoon. Good afternoon, colleagues. If you allow me, I will ask three questions. The first one, does Russia support the initiative of the Special Representative on Syria, Herr Pedersen, who states that a new international format on Syrian settlement is necessary, including Russia, the United States, Iran, Turkey, the EU, and the countries of the Arab world? The second question, can you go question by question? Since you have three questions, please let me answer each one of them. When it comes to formats on Syrian settlement, today, the only international format on Syrian settlement which has proved itself to be efficient is the Astana format. The decisions made within this format, within Astana format, with the participation of two delegations that represent the armed opposition, the Syrian government, and the follow-up coordinated work by Russia, Iran, and Turkey, permitted us to reach a ceasefire in Syria and stabilize the situation. A lot of lives have been saved, and the necessary conditions have been created to further normalization in Syria. The name countries guarantors have supported the countries of national dialogue in Sochi in 2018 based on decisions of which an inter-Syrian constitutional committee has been established and started operating. Unfortunately, the settlement in Syria is a slower process than we would like it to be. Millions of refugees and IDPs are suffering because of that. The infrastructure is destroyed and has to be restored. The Geneva consultations are also being drawn up because of that. Why does it happen? This answer can be found in the joint statement of the Minister for Foreign Affairs of Italy, France, United States and Britain due to the anniversary of the beginning of the Syrian conflict. This collective demarche proves that the West is not ready to accept the reality as it is at the moment in Syria and still hopes to turn the situation to their advantage and punish those who they see as the ones to blame. We have commented upon this many times. Now, due to an anniversary, there has been an integrated material on this. We support the independence and territorial integrity of Syria. We base our policy on the norms and principles of international law. We see as priorities the goals that are set in the UN Resolution 2254, Syrians need to be carrying out the settlement themselves. Such a political settlement and post-conflict reconciliation after a defeat of international terrorism is something that we further. We cooperate with opposition, with the government. We involve international assistance to the Syrian people in order to help them overcome this difficult crisis. And we also provide humanitarian assistance. In recent 20 years, Western countries have been answering to every step of Damascus on the road of political settlement, have been a toughening of economic blockade of Syria based on the aforementioned Act of Cesarus and other similar decisions. Provocations continue to bring to account officials for alleged military crimes. It is noteworthy that such approaches are promoted by those who fueled the conflict in Syria. Foreign fighters were brought to the country, joining different terrorist groups already operating in Syria, groups that were recognized as terroristic by the United Nations. Some were without evidence accusing the Syrian government of chemical weapons against their own people, and after that used it as just justification to make airstrikes against the country. Some still continue to carry on with an illegal military occupation, fueling separatist trends and ideas, and simultaneously plundering natural resources that belong to the Syrian people. We have mentioned it many times. During the recent visit of Mr. Patterson to Moscow, we have heard his wishes to create a new collective mechanism to further Syrian settlement with the participation both of countries within the Astana format and the so-called small group. Let us get back to the beginning of this rather long answer. I would like to emphasize that for an international format, the most important thing is its efficiency. Not art for the sake of art, but rather the end result. You can ensure efficiency in the current circumstances, taking into account destructive policies of certain parties. Creating a new format will not lead to change in political approaches. It is fact. Changing the vision of the situation can lead to additional points of contact between partners that before remained on different sides of the barricades. We always advocate for dialogue, but we advocate for a constructive dialogue based on international law, dialogue that rules out any intention to serve one's own geopolitical interests. Otherwise, it is not dialogue. The idea of the special envoy of the Secretary General will contribute to the fact that countries not involved in Syrian settlement will think about it. What will be the role of Syrian people in such a format? Government and different groups that are part of the opposition. Will Resolution 2254 of the Security Council of the UN be the basis of such a format? These are the questions. We remain open to contacts with different regional partners on Syria. We actively interact with them. We are ready to cooperate with anyone who shows sincere interest in overcoming the crisis in Syria based on respecting sovereignty, independence, unity and territorial integrity of this country. And now your second question. Thank you for such a detailed answer. I did my best. My next question has to do with initiative from Japan. Former diplomat and politist Mr. Kiyo Kawata recently published an article where there is a phrase, show the capability of Japan to block Straits Laparuza and Sangarski, where the main supply routes are between Russian continental part and the islands. How could you comment upon it? You're right. This is a former official of political establishment of Japan. It is very important for understanding the situation from different standpoints. We see such calls regardless of who voices them. All calls that have as their intention to intimidate We see them as something that is simply deplorable. It is not worthy that such statements were made by a former high official in Japan, who for many years worked on the Russian direction and was an ambassador in a number of CIS states,
to a dead end, but they cannot change the reality, the sovereignty of Russia over southern Kuril Islands. And the last question regards the history of the Second World War. American journalist Sylvia Foti, who is a grandchild of Lithuanian collaborationist Jonas Sanareika, has recently published a book, it was in March, intitulated as A Grandchild of a Nazi, How I Find Out That My Grandparent Was a Criminal. It's a surprise in history because in Lithuania itself there are still attempts to proclaim Jonas Sanareika as a hero. He was an accomplice of Hitler, a collaborationist, and now he is described as a freedom fighter. I've already mentioned this topic, but there is another example in Lithuania, in Vilnius, and in other Lithuanian cities there are honorable plaques dedicated to them. Schools and streets are named after him, and there are still attempts to justify his criminal activity using very strange arguments. Like one of them says that he didn't shoot personally at the Jews, and that he supposedly had plans to save them, but the facts say the contrary. He signed documents creating conditions for the annihilation of the Jews, and he got financial resources from the Nazi authorities. And the book of Sylvia Foti is described as an attempt to reveal to Western readers the truth about what really happened in Lithuania. I believe that is just a point of view that, according to the author, is aimed at creating the capabilities to see the real picture. Our principal stance is well known to you, and I have already shortly described it. If it's all, the channel Shark News, are you there? The Emirates, are you here? No. I can't see them. Do you have some more questions? Someone? Can I ask a short question? Yes, of course. Radio Sagra Reykjavik. I would like to get some comments on the statements of Mr. Biden with regard to Russian president. Are there some responses? What do you know about the situation? This is not our scandal. It's something happening in the United States. Please address this question to American representatives. Let them comment on what has happened. I personally was shocked by the fact that a number of spokespeople, a number of officials responsible for the official comments in the United States decided to ignore the situation, and they kept silence with regard to it. And so this expression reflects what was really happening. That's not a question to us. You know our stance of principle regarding the development of relations with all the countries, including the USA. You know that even throughout the most difficult periods, really complicated periods of time, when our points of view on the issues of principles were different. We kept saying that everything was to be decided at the negotiation table, irrespective of whether we liked representatives of this or another country. That wasn't the reason. The reason is the understanding that the interests of the people of our countries are behind this policy, and we cannot forget the interests of the citizens of our states. And we always based our behavior on this logic. So if you allow me, I will not do their work instead of them. If you wish, you can ask representatives of the country that has always been proud of its freedom of speech and respect for journalism to make a comment. Because for a long period of time, they tried to impose to the whole world what journalist was the right one, what journalist wasn't. So let them prove the real attitude towards the freedom of speech. Let them reveal their real attitude towards journalism. And we need to make them stop hiding from the questions. I think it will be useful for them. There is a proverb in Russia. I don't think that it will be easy to translate it into English.
Вам домашнее задание перевести это на ваши родные языки. Да, Ася, у вас вопрос?
Ася, do you have a question? Yes, I have. If you allow me, there are two questions. I would like to use this opportunity to convey the congratulations of Bulgarian readers on the 7th anniversary of the reunion between Russia and Crimea. They ask to congratulate you on that personally. The first question is regarded to blocking of Russian content and any other inconvenient content in media. And at the meeting with the representatives of Russian media, Mr. Putin said that international grade information platform would restrain actions of Russia's media to them, including the use of some blockades and deleting of Russian and other types of content. Will there be restrictions imposed on the actions of foreign platforms, and is Russia ready to continue the work on the establishment of alternative to great media platform that could be accessible to all the users throughout the world in order to preserve the freedom of speech? If you allow me, I would answer your second question. First, we've already got Russian platforms that are really popular, not only in our country, but abroad. You know, they include ВКонтакте and other media. There are some new platforms that are being developed at the moment. I think they will be developed in future even faster. Responding to your first question, I need to say that internet monopolists and such states as the United States of America renounce and refute their obligation regarding the protection of freedom of speech and respect for pluralism of opinions and other parameters from mass blockades by the Twitter company already inscribed on the pages of history. There are users blocked, there are users who restrictive measures were imposed. They include public activists, state officials. We already are aware of that. But the company itself and the USA accuse Russia, including Roskomnadzor, of some attacks against the freedom of speech. In particular, the official response of the Twitter company to warning by Roskomnadzor was the following, I quote, "We still advocate and protect the open internet throughout the whole world. We are preoccupied by the frequent attempts to block the social dialogue online," unquote. Those are the same companies, the same representative, the same Twitter platform that say that they are preoccupied with the attempts to block some contempt and to restrain activities in the internet. It is the same company that blocked numerous users, even their own president. The State Department of the USA say that we are worried with the activization of the efforts by Russia to control the internet. The disagreements in this area do not pose a threat, and they play a role in the forming of a more tolerant society. Does the State Department say that the State Department of the country that blocked its president itself, and it even explained it and presented some arguments. The truth is that if American mass media can block their own president and own political officials due to some political motivation, then our arguments with regard to Twitter is absolutely logical, and it's based on our legislation. That's why it goes in contrast with the groundless statement by the United States, including state bodies and private companies. I would like to remind you that since 2017 and till the present time, Twitter hasn't been deleting content, including the information on narcotic drugs abuse and child pornography. There are 3,160 documents, illegal documents, including those that call for committing suicides, 450 with child pornography. In total, more than 28,000 of first and renewed demands to delete these publications were sent, and this is just ignoring these addresses. And according to state bodies, on the 3rd of March, several attempts by minors to commit suicide were prevented, but instead of working on topical problems, on improving the internal political situations, the United States continued to introduce political censorship, in particular with regard to Russian citizens. I've recently spoken to our colleagues from Roskomnadzor, and what did I find out? I found out that the similar content that the Russian party demands to delete
в американском западном информационном сегменте, она его полностью зачищает.
Just cleared up in the American mass media segment. For example, if they had different laws and different values, it could be understood by the protect their citizens, while according to them, Russian citizens can be subject to such illegal actions.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.